Good morning and greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Bless you for blessing us. I think we've been well fed this morning. We could wrap it up with a closing prayer here and be quite satisfied, I think. I've appreciated the things that have come to us to nudge us in our walk. Since I'm here, I'll go a little farther, I guess. Maybe you can finish for me. What would the other word be? That would go along with this contrast or comparison? Okay. Cause and effect, or and the other word?
Reaping.
Which do you have the most control in? What do you have the most say over in your experience of life?
Sowing and reaping.
Using cause to equate to sowing, and using effect equating to reaping, and contrasting these to this,
just the sowing.
Which do you have more control? All right. Generally, we have more to say about that, don't we? Which do you spend the most time attempting to alter? We all kind of grin sheepishly, don't we? We work on this sometimes, don't we? Maybe it's easiest illustrated with the nickel and dime thing that we all relate to so well. So we, you know, the credit card limit, we try to push that limit a little bit, and the credit card just kind of stays right up with the limit. Even when we get a little increased limit on the card, well, somehow the balance just keeps growing, and well, we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to spend more hours so that we can pay this thing off. Somehow we've got to get rid of this debt. And so the focus that we have is, well, let's get rid of the debt. Let's get rid of the reaping. But what's the cause? Well, probably my spending, right? But it's a lot easier to focus on trying to increase my income rather than to try to adjust my spending. Does that have anything to do with focusing on cause and focusing on effect rather and not really paying attention to cause? We spend a fair amount of time though thinking about cause and sowing. Probably more of our teaching that we give to our children, maybe more of our preaching that we give to our people, and it has to do with, well, how are we walking in life? What are we doing? This morning, I'd like us to think about this other side just a little bit. And so I've entitled the message, Reaping Successfully. There's a ditch on both sides of this road, and the ditches are so wide that the road seems to be narrow in relation to this thing of sowing, of reaping. It seems to be, reflecting in my own exposure, my own life, if it's not looking at the reaping and gloating that I have sown well, It's struggling in the reaping and asking the question, what did I do to deserve this? The two ditches in relation to reaping. How do we reap successfully? I'd like us to go on a little journey this morning. Look at what the Bible has to say about this thing of reaping. There are several principles I'd like us to consider. Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 says, "For they that have sown the wind, they shall reap what?" What was it?
The whirlwind.
That's the wind, all right. But it's a little more than just the wind, right? They shall reap the whirlwind, the principle of increase. Think about that for a moment. In Mark chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus said, in relation to the parable of the sower, "And other fell on good ground, and it yielded fruit. It sprang up. It increased a little better than what Scott's trees did this spring so far. It brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." The principle of increase. We always intend to reap in larger quantities than we sow, don't we? Or does that make a difference? Does it make a difference in what we're sowing? If we're out sowing seed, a lot of you know a lot about that, and I know little. You certainly intend to reap more than you sow, or it'd be a futile task. There are times we find ourselves sowing with the naive reckoning of reality that, sure hope this doesn't come back around to greet me. But the principle of increase. Have you been driving along at night? You come to an intersection and it's all lighted, flashing lights all around. A couple vehicles out in the intersection, body lying over at the side covered with white sheet. The small act, the small. The moment without thought of running that red light costs the life of an individual. The principle of increase. Our family was at a restaurant out at the coast a year ago or so, maybe. And happened to be on my birthday, but I don't think anybody else knew it there other than my family. But the waitress came to our table 2/3 of the way through the meal and said, "Your meal's paid for." "What?" "Yeah, somebody paid your meal." And so we had a little chat with her there talking about this. And she said, "You know, one time, somebody paid for someone's breakfast in the morning. And that party paid for someone else's meal. And that party paid for someone else's meal. And that party paid for someone else's meal." And she thought it went 6 or 7 times. She kind of lost track, but she thought it went for 6 or 7 times. The principle of increase. Robert Lieber, who was a professor of psychology, I don't know if he lives anymore, I'm not sure how old he was, I believe he made this statement sometime in the mid-70s. He said this, "The cumulative effect of violent television programming might be likened to the planting of a bomb which might explode over a period of 10 or 20 years. Every murder or violent act a child witnesses on TV is like a small, even minuscule weight placed on the balance, and no one can guarantee that eventually the balance might not tip, triggering violent acts on the part of individuals who previously appeared to be normal. Do we see any of that in today's world? The principle of increase. It's there. It's there. And I believe it's good for us to contemplate in relation to this thing of reaping. If we're going to successfully reap, if we're going to grapple with what's going to come into our lives, we need to contemplate that reality. Another principle is the principle of proportion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." But we just said there's a principle of increase. But the Bible says here, he which soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Psalm 126, verse 6, "He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." They're speaking of the attitude of our sowing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall it be measured unto you." The principle of proportion. Now understand that all three of these passages that speak about this principle of proportion are speaking about sowing in a good way. Have you ever had the thought, well, it's just, you know, the impact of this little thing that I did, which was wrong, and I knew it was wrong. The impact of that ought to be just minuscule, like I think the action is itself. But why doesn't it work that way? In the negative sense, it never does. Maybe you could think of it in this way. I believe God illustrates it well in nature. So, let your dandelions go 1 year. And what are you going to have the next year in your yard? The principle of proportion? No. Increase. Increase. Huge increase. Let your broccoli go to seed in the garden. What are you going to have the next year? Principle of increase? Never works that way for me. You might not even get proportion. Only a good plant or two. Works a little better with potatoes. A little careless in the digging of them in the fall. Well, you'll get some wild ones coming up. Not wild ones. Volunteer ones coming up here and there. Do you follow what I'm saying? We live in a fallen world. And that dandelion that you take and you go, and out it goes. The percentage of fruit from that is going to be a whole lot more than if you take your broccoli plant and shake the seed and see if that'll come up. We live in a fallen world. You realize how long you have to work to gain a customer's satisfaction and appreciation, and how little time it takes to destroy their confidence in who you are and what you do. So this principle of proportion is speaking specifically to that of good sowing. That of sowing good seed. Of doing right. Don't think it works well if you choose to do wrong and think that you can control the fruit of that. But in the positive sense, let's use it that way. That's the way it's spoken. Let's use it that way. Sowing good seeds. The prophet said, cast your bread upon the water and in many days it will return. God will not let His word return unto Him what? Void. We're in the middle of summer Bible school too. We struggled a bit to get our teachers together too. This week it will not return void. Do you believe the principle of proportion? Sow the seed. God will do something with it. Another little illustration. A chaplain, Mr. McCabe, at some point set out to raise $1 million for a missionary project. And he tells the story of the disappointment that he faced in his attempt to collect this from Christian people. The difficulty that it was a struggle for him. And one particularly discouraging day, he was going through a pile of his mail and he came to a letter. He opened it up and out of it fell a note and a tarnished 5-cent nickel beat up on the edges. And the note said, scrawled in boyish scroll, "Dear Chaplain McCabe, I'm sure you're going to get $1 million for missions, and I'm going to help you get it. So here's a nickel toward it all. It's all I've got right now, but if you need anything more, call on me." Well, Pastor McCabe used that. That became one of his most effective stories. He raised his $1 million, but it was with that nickel's worth of story. It brought forth fruit. There was a boy that gave generously what he had. And did God have anything to do with the bountiful harvest, with the reaping? He did. All right, principle of expectation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Paul says here, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." The principle of expectation. He that ministereth seed to the sower and bread for your food. He'll multiply the seeds sown. I didn't think something seemed right. I was in 2 Corinthians. Let's try again here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Those other verses have a lesson to them too, don't they? Relation to the same subject. All right, verse 10. "For he saith that all, or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you in spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" All right, we plow intending to sow. We sow with the hope of a harvest. The principle of expectation. It's right to sow with hope. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." Don't you just expect that to be the case? Perhaps sometimes we go out to sow, and in our desire to not be disappointed, we sow saying, well, it'll probably be like it always is. We'll probably get no calls from this work of passing out tracts in the street of Portland this year. We'll probably get no calls. But let's go out and do it. Or do we get out there with a principle of hope? Do we get out there with a conviction that the Holy Spirit is going to take what we're going to give by song or by literature and is going to work in the lives of people? You don't hopelessly sow in the lives of your children, parents. You go to work in this thing of teaching and training, and you, with expectation, anticipate a maturing process. Expect things to change from 3 to 13? We all do. We all do. The principle of expectation. Do we sometimes fall down on the job? We create that principle of expectation within our children. And they do something they know they shouldn't have done. It's a good thing Dad's busy and distracted right now, or I would have gotten in trouble. The principle of expectation. We've disappointed them. We've let them down. They really should have felt the consequences of what they did, but I was too negligent to follow through. You see, these principles affect so much of life. This thing of reaping, it wraps itself around our choices and our way of living, almost completely enveloping it. We don't always know what the harvest will be. We don't know if it'll be 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. We don't know how soon it will come, but it is right to sow in hope. Because you can be confident that God's laws are true. You see, that's what the hope is rooted in, is the reality that God has said, this will work. Do we believe it? Do we believe that God's truth will work? Do we give opportunity? Does our faith make way for Him to do what He wishes to do with the sowing that we exert energy and effort into? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9 brings another principle to the surface, and that is the principle of like kind. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever He soweth, that shall He also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. The principle of like kind. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could use the free seed of the thistle and the fast, hardy growth of the thistle, but get the fruit of the blueberry? Wouldn't it be wonderful? But it's silly, right? It's silly. It's no less ridiculous for us to think that we can be careless with our money and not end up wanting. That we can be careless in our training and not end up with regrets and sorrow. That we can be careless in maintaining relationships and think that you're going to be a friend of everyone. Foolish. It's foolish. Principle of like kind. If we're going to fill our minds with bitter and envious thoughts, we're not going to end up with love in our hearts toward our brother or sister or our neighbor. What does GIGO, the acronym GIGO, stand for? Anyone know? semi-common, I thought. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. And we know that's life, right? You're going to feed your mind garbage? That's going to be the fruit of the life. But let's put it in the positive sense again. Once again, this thing of reaping has a very strong positive effect in our lives. Could we also say good in, good out? G-I-G-O, it still works. What you're going to put in is going to come out. Like the principle of like kind. Turn to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. This is the principle of God's mercy in relation to sowing. We have an interesting passage here, almost contrasting between the two verses, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, Hosea 10. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of mighty men. So the words to Israel from Hosea the prophet here, rebuke for the way that they were choosing to live. Israel's an empty vine, this chapter starts out with, bringing forth fruit to himself. Notice that first part of verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. And then what does it say? Reap in what? There's a word I want you to catch.
Mercy.
Sow in righteousness and look at the good fruit that you have that you bring forth because of your sowing in righteousness, and glory in what you have sown. No. Glory in what? The mercy of God. You've sown righteousness. You reap what is right and beautiful. Glory in the goodness and the mercy of God. But then look at verse 13. So, how does he say it? Ye have plowed in wickedness. The devil made me do it. Blame the evil one. No, what does he say? You've plowed in wickedness. You're going to reap iniquity, and you're going to eat the fruit of lies, and it's all a result of your choice to plow in wickedness. It's all a result. The principle of God's mercy. Seems like this is a very important principle for us. When we sow in righteousness, it is of God's mercy that we reap beautiful fruit. It is of God's mercy. When we sow in wickedness, it is of our own doing that we reap the iniquity of it. It is of our own doing. We can blame no one. We can blame no one for the things that are the results of our own choices. But when we have sown in righteousness, lest we bring glory to our sowing, remember, it is of God's mercy that you are even able to reap that which is good. It is of God's mercy. It's because we live in a fallen world. It's because of the fallen nature of man. It's because if we're going to live at all, we're going to live by the grace of God. It's not what we can do. We can't claim credit for a harvest of God's goodness. Even in doing our best, we make mistakes. I believe when our heart is turned toward God, in this process of sowing, We see our mistakes. We right our wrongs when we make them. God in His mercy often brings to us a harvest that is way beyond, way beyond. Way beyond ourselves, way beyond what we could generate, way beyond what we deserve. But understand that when you choose to sow in wickedness, you will reap iniquity. And it's of your own doing. It's of my own doing. We must assume responsibility. Psalm 25, verse 7 says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." According to thy mercy and for thy goodness' sake. We can never sow good enough to deserve God's goodness. It's of God's mercy. All right? Another principle from Micah chapter 6. The principle of God's control in this thing of reaping. Micah chapter 6, verse 7. Seven and eight, and then verses 14 and 15. "Will the Lord be pleased with rams, with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Verse 14, "Thou shalt eat and not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, and thou shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine." The principle of God's control. Again, the prophet is challenging the people of Israel, and he's trying to bring them from a life of outward doing of things that they think is right and hoping to cover what is really in their heart with a few good sacrifices and a few right offerings and a few appropriate fasts, that they would try to cover what is really in their heart. Doesn't work. We cannot avoid the results of sowing a bad crop undercover by trying to sow a few good visual things. We might impress people. We might affect people's perspectives of us. Brother Jason pointed out in our devotional time that we can't change God's awareness of what's in the heart. We can't change that, and we can't alter the effect of that. The attempts to alter our reaping are unsuccessful. They always will be. Especially the attempts that are without repentance and without a change of direction. Without a change of sowing. And so God demonstrates His control here, and He tells His people, "You're not going to reap because I know what's going on behind the scenes. You're not going to reap from the few good things that you're trying to accomplish." Remember, we choose our sowing. We don't choose our reaping. The principle of God's control. John chapter 4, Jesus has another principle for us, the principle of humility. John chapter 4, verses 35. This ties in with the principle of God's mercy, but I'd like to just make a brief point of it. Chapter 4, verses 35 to 38, Jesus says, Say ye not that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The principle of humility. Paul said that he would not boast of things without his measure and what are of other men's labors. He would not boast of those things. You know, sometimes we go along sowing seed and we see no result. We see nothing come of it. Someone down the line with the watering can watches the flower open and watches the fruit begin to grow. And you never see it and you never know. That's okay. That needs to be okay with us. But I planted that. I planted that. I want my flag to fly beside this fruit. Objects of God's mercy. We mustn't take credit for our reaping. Humility. Credit to whom credit is due is another principle I think that comes through in here. Well, I just watered so-and-so 15 years ago, told the story the first time. Credit to whom credit is due. That's another principle that I think comes through in this. But you know, we don't sow to raise our flag just a little higher on the pole. We must be sowing for the glory of God. Two more. The principle of responsibility. We could go to Genesis chapter 4. I won't turn there, but I'll remind you of the story. And so Cain killed his brother Abel, and God came to Cain and he said, this is the way it's going to be. And Cain says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. This is more than I deserve. There is no way I can just take my life. There's no way I can go on with this. God put a mark on him and preserved him. Principle of responsibility. He still had to bear the consequences. Saul, in an attempt to avoid the consequences, said to Samuel with regard to the Amalekites and the bleating of the sheep, he said, the people have done it. The people did it. He didn't want to reap what was coming. Do we chafe at outcomes? The outcomes of our own decisions? Do we struggle accepting the effect of the seed we've sown? Maybe it's the bad debt. Maybe it's the bad reputation. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's the way the day goes because just to get myself out of bed. Cause and effect, you know? The alarm rings and oh, this lovely little snooze button. And you do it again and you do it again. And all of a sudden, the morning is falling apart and the rush is on and things need to happen. Cause and effect. You get all riled and flustered. No, you need to go right back to bed in your mind. I caused this for myself. I brought this upon myself. I need to deal with it. Maturity is looking at outcomes in the face, looking at those outcomes in the face and admitting that I got myself there. We are so tended to blame. We're so tended to lay it at someone else's feet. I got myself there. 1 Peter 2 verse 20 challenges a bit with this. He says, for what glory is it when ye are buffeted for your faults, if ye shall take it patiently? I did good getting through that one. But you're the one that caused the emergency all along. good. Quit causing the emergency. What glory is it when ye are buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. How on earth are we going to learn to suffer without rightful cause if we don't learn to take the suffering that comes by rightful cause? It seems to me that it's tied together there. We need to learn to deal with the effects of our choices without blame. Finally, the principle of deferred reaping. According as his work shall be. Luke 16:25, Abraham said, Son, remember to the rich man, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. We're talking about sowing and reaping. What's fair about that? Deferred reaping. It's another principle that needs to come into the picture. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Years pass sometimes without apparent reaping. Jesus tells us we wait with long patience for the harvest. God is patient and long-suffering, waiting for harvest. We too need to wait for the harvest. The psalmist struggled with this thing when he said, when he expressed how frustrating it was for him to see the wicked prospering in his way. But God says, no, you watch. That'll all change. Just another little story for your encouragement. The church where Moffat was converted. The old pastor at that time in that church, the deacons came to him and he said to him, Pastor, we've appreciated you, we love you, but you know, you're tapering off here. We've not had a good year. There's not been no marks. There's not been any converts this year. I think maybe it's time for you to retire. And the pastor agreed. He said, yes, it's been kind of a dull year for me too. But he said, there's one that I think about back there, Bobby Moffat. But he was such a child in his time, his response that year. Maybe it's not even right to count him, the pastor said to the deacons. It was a few years later that Bobby Moffat came to the pastor, the old pastor. He said, Pastor, do you think I could ever learn to preach? I just feel it in my heart. Pastor said, try it. Give your heart to it. Try it. Perhaps you can learn. Years later, I'm not sure how many years later, maybe it was between 50 and 60 years later, when Robert Moffat came back from his amazing work in the land of Africa, the King of England stood to his feet in honor of the work that Bobby did. The British Parliament stood out of respect for what had been accomplished. The humble old preacher had long gone on to his reward, but that unfruitful year had begun something. Robert Moffat was preaching to a group of women one time when he had come back from Africa to England. The title of his message to that evening was Unto Thee, O Men, I Call. And it was a snowy and a cold evening. It was only women that came out for that service, except for the little boy that came to blow the billows on the organ. And that night, as Robert Moffat shared, something sprang to life in David Livingstone's heart. And he went on to medical school and continued to work in Africa. Story of a couple of amazing men whom God did amazing things through. The principle of deferred reaping. You know, we look at little things and little opportunities, and sometimes we just pass those things over. We hardly have time. It's too insignificant. But little is much when God is in it. Let Him be in it. Let Him be in your sowing. Today, you sow. Tomorrow, you may reap. What will your harvest be? God bless you.